The Winner, written by David Baldacci, read by Francis Cassidy.
Part 1. Chapter 1. Jackson studied the shopping mall's long corridor, noting haggard mothers piloting loaded strollers and the senior citizens group walking the mall both for exercise and conversation. Dressed in a gray pinstriped suit, the stocky Jackson stared intently at the north entrance to the shopping mall. That would no doubt be the one she would use, since the bus stop was right in front. She had, Jackson knew, no other form of transportation. Her live-in boyfriend's truck was in the impoundment lot, the fourth time in as many months. It must be getting a little tedious for her, he thought. The bus stop was on the main road. She would have to walk about a mile to get there, but often she did that. What other choice did she have? The baby would be with her. She would never leave it with the boyfriend. Jackson was certain of that. While his name always remained Jackson for all of his business endeavors, next month his appearance would change dramatically from the hefty middle-aged man he was currently. Facial features, of course, would again be altered. Weight would probably be lost. Height added or taken away along with hair. Male or female, aged or youthful, often the persona would be taken from people whom he knew, either wholly or bits of thread from different ones, sewn together until the delicate quilt of fabrication was complete. In school, biology had been a favorite subject. Specimens belonging to that rarest of all classes, the hermaphrodite, had never ceased to fascinate him. He smiled as he dwelled for a moment on this greatest of all physical duplicities. Jackson had received a first-rate education from a prestigious Eastern school. Combining his love of acting with his natural acumen for science and chemistry, he had achieved a rare double major in drama and chemical engineering. Mornings would find him hunched over pages of complex equations or malodorous concoctions in the university's chemistry lab, while the evenings would have him energetically embroiled in the production of a Tennessee Williams or Arthur Miller classic. Those accomplishments were serving him very well, indeed if his classmates could only see him now. In keeping with today's character, a middle-aged male, overweight and out of shape from leading a sedentary lifestyle, a bead of perspiration suddenly sprouted on Jackson's forehead. His lips curled into a smile. This physical reaction pleased him immensely, aided as it was by the insulation of the padding he was wearing to provide bulky proportions and to conceal his own wiry frame. But it was something more than that, too. He took pride in the fact that he became the person totally, as though different chemical reactions took place within him depending on who and what he was pretending to be. He didn't normally inhabit shopping malls. His personal tastes were far more sophisticated. However, his clientele were most comfortable in these types of surroundings, and comfort was an important consideration in his line of work. His meetings tended to make people quite excited, sometimes in negative ways. Several interviews had become extremely animated, compelling him to think on his feet. These reminiscences brought another smile to Jackson's lips. You couldn't argue with success, though. He was batting 1,000. However, it only took one to spoil his perfect record. His smile quickly faded. Killing someone was never a pleasant experience. Rarely was it justified, but when it was, one simply had to do it and move on. For several reasons, he hoped the meeting today would not precipitate such an outcome. He carefully dabbed his forehead with his pocket handkerchief and adjusted his shirt cuffs. He smoothed down a barely visible tangle in the synthetic fibers of his neatly groomed wig. His real hair was compressed under a latex skullcap. He pulled open the door to the space he had rented in the mall and went inside. The area was clean and orderly. In fact, too much so, he thought suddenly as he slowly surveyed the interior. It lacked the look of a true working space. The receptionist, seated behind the cheap metal desk in the foyer, looked up at him. In accordance with his earlier instructions, she didn't attempt to speak. She had no idea who he was or why she was here.